you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 217 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. Today, my guest is three-time returning champion Nakia Gray. If you are with us way back in the past, you would remember that Nakia was with us on episode 6, if you can believe, and episode 103, and she returns now for episode 217. Today, we're going to talk about how Nakia uses a online summit to promote her law practice and build her mailing list. And Nakia is a perfect person to speak to about this subject, as her practice is a virtual practice that addresses the needs, the legal needs of entrepreneurs. And in addition, she also has a coaching business that helps attorneys brand their firm and their practice. So all these things come together with her development of a legal summit that appeals to a wide array of practices and interests. So I think you'll find that this is a pretty interesting opportunity that a lot of people can take advantage of. So without any further delay, let's listen to Nakia Gray. Nakia Gray, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here again. I cannot believe this is now, what, my third time?
The third time, as we said before, this makes you a three-peat champion.
I'm a three-peat.
Yeah. You can wear all those, you know, rings for appearing on The Law Entrepreneur on one hand.
Yes.
So in case anybody missed you on either episodes six, did we say?
Six.
Episode 6 and episode 103. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So I launched a virtual law firm in 2015 after having been practicing, I guess, 8 or 9 years. I had been a litigator at one of the area's top law firms, and I was just about over it in terms of going to court and not having, you know, full control over my time. And primarily the reason was because my husband and I had decided that I would homeschool our daughter for her last 3 years of high school, and there was no way I could do that in a traditional firm. So I launched a virtual law practice, completely rebranded and shifted practice areas. So I serve creative entrepreneurs. I help them with all things in protecting their business, from contracts to business formation, intellectual property, all that good stuff. Absolutely love it. Love doing that. And then also I started in 2014 Beyond the Bar Institute, which is a marketing consult and branding consultancy for other lawyers to help them with branding and marketing themselves and their services online. And I've been doing that now, I guess, 6 years.
Yep. Well, it's interesting because I think you were ahead of the game in both situations. If you think about it, we look back to episode 6, as we were talking about, at that point, our subject was starting a virtual law firm and how to do that. And you and I were one of the very few that had almost 100% virtual law firm at the time.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you were 100% virtual. I was pretty darn close to that at that point in time. And of course, now, and particularly given what we're going through with this pandemic, everybody's virtual.
Exactly.
So we did it when it was hard to do.
we did.
You know, suffered the slings and arrows of being out in front of that that charge. And then, you know, the whole concept of online branding and how to protect your online assets and all of that was what we discussed, you know, in episode 103 in part. And so, again, ahead of the game you were with your Beyond the Bar Institute offering those educational opportunities to attorneys who are venturing out into the online world. And now, again, virtually all of us are in some fashion or another providing services in an online fashion of some sort or another.
Yes.
So, you know, congratulations on being at the vanguard of both of those movements.
Thank you.
But
it's
today,
so funny when you think about it, how long it's been, and you're like, wow, I've been doing this. Time flies, honestly. I feel like you and I just sat down for episode 103?
Yeah.
Time's really going fast.
Yeah. Well, it does go fast, and I have news for you. The older you get, the faster it goes. You know, when we were young, and like our kids were at one point, you know, summer seemed like an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And I clearly recall the time frame from when you got out of school until the 4th of July seemed like forever. And now it's like the next weekend.
I know. You're so right about that, Neil.
You know? So anyway, what we wanted to chat about a little bit today was your success in almost a third venture, although it's tangentially related to the other two, and that was the online summit that you have conducted and how you use that to your advantage to, among other things, grow your mailing list and service your legal firm, your law firm. So tell our audience, just kind of in a nutshell, from the 40,000 view, what that was all about and what prompted you to get into that business.
Sure. So one of the things that I've always known, but had not practiced as consistently as I should have, is growing my email list. It was crucial when I first started because I was, number one, starting an online practice, and number two, starting a practice area that no one in the world knew that I even did because I had literally just started doing it. So it was like the only way I could have done it was to start an email list. And so the very first thing that I did was create an ebook. And I promoted that ebook everywhere that I could. I ran Facebook ads and I grew my email list very quickly. And that served as the way for me to get clients in the beginning. And it's so funny because I recently did an online visibility challenge for attorneys, and I showed them. I love to go back to those early days, as, you know, kind of like a started from the bottom kind of thing. And when we saw the ebook, I could not stop laughing at how horrible my branding was back then. But
it's so revealing, isn't it?
It's so revealing. And so, but I showed it because I wanted the challenge participants to see, look at how horribly designed this was. But 2,000, over 2,000 creative entrepreneurs gave me their email address in exchange for it. So it's the content that matters. It's not, you know, the branding is important and it should be nice, but if you've got good content, people don't care. And I could not believe when I went back and, you know, I haven't seen it in a long time. So mm-hmm. when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is embarrassing.
Did you similarly take a peek at your early email content?
Oh my God, yes. Yes. Okay.
Now, I know for a fact that you are an absolute pro at email marketing these days. And there are resources out there that people can learn how to become better at doing email marketing. But back then, you're a little bit on your own. There weren't as many resources out there. And I'm guessing you kind of learned by trial and error.
Trial and error, completely.
And those first emails, I suspect are great lessons for your current content.
Correct. Exactly. And so over the years, you know, I think what happens And this is whether you're building an email list or you're building your funnel of clients and leads in another way. You get comfortable and you aren't as aggressive. And so over the past couple of years, I have not been as aggressive as I should in my email marketing. And so I decided around Thanksgiving time, talking with my team, and I said, you know what? I think that I want to do an online summit, a virtual conference. And
why did that thought pop into your head?
That thought popped into my head because, number one, I have been a guest on many, many virtual summits. I had done it plenty of times. And I knew that it was a great way to get fresh people really quickly. And the reason is because, just in case no one here's heard of it, a virtual summit is a conference that's produced over the internet. Very easy peasy, no muss, no fuss, where you've got a list of experts on different topics and it's going to usually pre-record it. You can do it live or it can be pre-recorded. But the reason why it's a great way to grow your email list is because each of your guests or your conference speakers, they promote the conference to their audience. So it's an opportunity for you to leverage other people's audiences. And so that's why it's such a great way. So if you've got, I had eight people. If I've got eight people who are promoting people to come and follow me or welcoming them into my online space, that's a heck of a lot of people. In fact, that's over 3,000 people, which is how many people I've added to my email list as a result of doing that online summit. And so that's a whole fresh crop of people to promote your legal services to. And so I am completely shocked that more lawyers don't know about it and don't do it. And so I knew that was going to be a great way to do it. And I really, because I had not been, the best, I hadn't been really good at it. My list was kind of dead, and meaning that I was emailing them intermittently. I wasn't consistent I really needed to revive it. And so I decided to pull together this online summit. And it was just amazing. We did not do a whole lot. My theme, every year I set a theme for the year. And my theme for 2020 is uncomplicated. And I'm very transparent with my team about that and why. Because I have had in the past situations where I'm trying to take on too much and I'm just team too much. And so this year I'm not doing that. So, and I say that because when you tell your team that so that they can hold you accountable, when I'm planning things or we're launching a new marketing initiative, and if I'm trying to do it, make it complicated, they can say, hey, 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 remember, we want to be uncomplicated. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Let's just do it in a Facebook group. So that's how we did it. We sent out the invitations to the people that we wanted. We picked the topics. We sent out the information. We had them sign a contract. We created the email copy that they could just copy and paste to send to their email list. We made all of the graphics for them to promote on their social media. We gave them captions that they could use. We wanted it to be so easy for these guests to promote it to their networks. And that's exactly what we did. We recorded the interviews and we just put them, we had what we call a pop-up Facebook group. So we made a group just for this event. And it was only 3 days. I've seen people do, a week long, and it's just, content, people don't have that kind of time. So I wanted it to be short and sweet, 30 minutes. And I found people that serve my audience in other ways. So I was the only thing legal about the summit was Nakia's My One presentation. The other speakers talked about other things that are important to my client. And so that's the key. I think every lawyer in every single practice area can put on one. And so you are, you're going to present on one topic, but there are so many things that your clients need that are in addition to whatever legal problem you solve for them.
Yeah, and I think that's there's a couple of really important points there that I want to kind of flesh out a little more. There's a lot of different platforms that you can do these kinds of things on. And if you're hanging around the internet long enough, you become familiar with a lot of them. And Facebook is kind of almost a no-brainer, easy entree into that capability. And if the idea of a three-day summit or a five-day summit is too daunting, how about just doing, you know, an afternoon?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really pretty simple.
Exactly. Uncomplicated, Neil.
Exactly.
Uncomplicated.
Exactly. Now, there's a couple of things. You pre-recorded the episodes and then posted them in the Facebook Live group, or you did it live in Facebook and recorded it and then made that available later?
We pre-recorded it, and you can do it either way.
Yeah.
You really can. We pre-recorded it, but all of my guests, so we pre-recorded it and we had a schedule. So on day one was this, day two was this, day three, and who each of the speakers were and when the videos would be released. And the only commitment that I had from the guests was that on the day that they were, that their video was released, that they would be available in the Facebook group to answer questions if people had questions under the video. And they did. And so, you know, when I do it again, I may switch it up. One thing I have found, and this is when I'm doing things through my law firm and also when I'm doing things through Beyond the Bar, and well, probably even more so when I'm doing things for lawyers and Beyond the Bar Institute, is that there's something about the live component for lawyers in particular, because we live and die by our Google calendars and time. And so when I do things with Beyond the Bar, it's almost always going to be, we have an appointment at this time and I have a lot more, my show up rates are very high and when I do it that way. And so with entrepreneurs, maybe not so much. So I would want to test it just to see if more people show up live, if it's, you know, the exact time. And there's pros and cons to doing it,
right?
Doing it both ways. And I will do another. I'm actually going to plan another one for the fall, kind of like a back to business kind of thing. Instead of back to school, I'll do another one for entrepreneurs. And I might switch it up a little bit and do it live and inside of Facebook versus the pre-recorded.
You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. But like, as I said, there's a number of different levels of complexity that you can climb that up that ladder. And like I said, Facebook is probably the most straightforward, easiest to do, but you can also do a Zoom meeting and do that live and record it and then upload it later to Facebook if you wanted to do that. And then you can keep graduating up in the levels of complexity. And there's whole software platforms that are developed specifically to do summits.
Yes, absolutely.
That unlock the events as time goes on and so on and so forth. So it's as a medium or as a mechanism to get that content out. There's a lot of different ways to do that. Let's talk a little bit about your audience, because I'm wondering if some attorneys are thinking, well, yeah, that works for her, but how's that going to work for me? So your audience in that case was entrepreneurs, not necessarily attorneys, but entrepreneurs who
entrepreneurs.
Are building their business and your speakers were you as the attorney and then other speakers that serve entrepreneurs.
Correct.
So let's take an example of, say, like a family law attorney.
Right.
Okay, so a family law attorney is saying, well, my clients aren't going to sign up for a summit. What would be the hook for them? Why would they want to do that?
Well, the first thing I would say, and the most common mistake that most attorneys make is not defining who your audience is.
Right.
So as a family law attorney, you know, who's your niche? Are you doing divorces? Are you doing divorces for women? Are you father's rights? Are you, you know, whatever. So I'll just use the example of perhaps you are doing your divorce attorney and your niche is military spouses.
There you go.
You help women who are going through a divorce from spouses in the military. Well, that person, first of all, let me just say this. Every legal issue has underlying personal issues, okay? So every person that has a legal problem, they have a whole slew of personal problems as a result of the legal problem, okay?
True that, as they say.
I don't care what kind of practice area you have. So if we stick with our military spouse example, well, this woman who is your ideal client or your target client, they are concerned about many things involving the result of what's going to happen to them going through their divorce. Perhaps they need to move, and so they may need real estate a person. So if I'm doing a summit, I may have a real estate agent to talk about. And if you're, this is a local, you're most likely doing this locally.
Right.
So I would have someone in, you know, such and such county who specializes in helping people to relocate or rebuilding. You know, maybe the title of your summit is Rebuilding After a Divorce or something like that. And so you've got a financial advisor who might want to come on and talk about things that you need to do. You may have someone who's going to deal with kids, something related to kids. Counseling, co-parenting. I mean, there's the list of topics and experts is very long. And most of those people aren't lawyers. They're going to need possibly an accountant, possibly a financial advisor, a divorce coach, which is becoming a very popular thing. And then even within divorce coaching, there's a different niche for each type of divorce coach. So maybe you have someone to talk about that. You may have a relationship expert to talk about, you know, put yourself back out there. You know, you get the point.
So I do.
You're going to talk about this one little itty bitty piece of their life, but there's lots of other issues that they have. And so having someone, I would definitely have someone on credit, how to, keeping your credit intact or rebuilding your credit. You might even have another legal expert to talk about bankruptcy if that's something that might be, you know, that could come into play. Like, think of all of the issues that your clients have that are outside of their divorce. And for many people, it's a lot.
And I think the fundamental underlying concept there is that you have to bring value to your client audience.
Yes.
And so what is valuable to them? Now, since you are the attorney and you're the host and your business is family law, particularly servicing military divorces. Well, you're going to be front and center in that, in that summit, but you bring extra value, not just talking about what you're doing, but all those other little pieces that are part of the divorce experience that you don't necessarily provide yourself.
Exactly.
And the same is true, it, regardless of what your practice area might be.
Yeah, exactly. And it, there's just something, you know, there is something to be said for the attorney who cares about what's going on in their clients' and potential clients' lives. I know, you know, that it, if I ever have to go through a divorce, the attorney who's saying to me, I know this is a traumatic time for you, and you've got to figure out this, 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 and this, and this, and this. I've got some resources to help you with these other parts of your, of what's going on, versus the attorney that says, look, I know you got a whole lot going on. I can only help you with the divorce. Good luck with your credit and finding a new place and relocating and, you know, getting a job, getting back into the workforce. If you were a stay-at-home mom, good luck with all that. That's not my problem. I'm here to only help you get a divorce.
I always love the, love those attorneys who would say to you over a drink, I don't understand why my clients can't figure out, I'm not their therapist.
Right.
I'm their attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're their attorney in this case, a very emotional, important period of their life, and some aspect of therapy is part of it. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You can't get away from that. So, you're right. I think your stature as a potential resource, if they're contemplating that action, is enhanced if you can, you know, if you can provide this educational experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, did you charge for that, or were there other ways that you were able to monetize that, or was that not the important goal or objective?
The important objective for me was to grow my list.
Okay.
So it was a free conference, and so that's how I got, you know, all those signups. And then you will make money from those people. I made within 30 days $10,000 just from people who watched it. And I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure they might have end up going to one of the other experts as well. But people that said, oh my goodness, this was so helpful. I need to file a trademark. I need to get on your calendar. And so that's exactly what happens. In addition to that, I got 3 speaking opportunities from the experts that I had who said, Nakia, you're an expert at this. I want to have you come and talk to my audience about brand protection and starting their business, protecting their business. So there, all of those things come from it. And I'm still realizing some of the return on that time because people, they're on my email list. And so sometimes we're now in a relationship. Okay. They're like, we're dating now. Yeah. And so I'm showing up in their inbox, and I am providing value to them, and I am giving them information that they didn't have before, and they're getting to know me. And yesterday I wished them a happy Mother's Day, and you know, all of those things, those touches all will lead to either referrals or to business. And so that is why, you know, and I am now at this point going to pack. It was free for the people that attended, and now we're repackaging it, and we'll sell it as an individual. It was a great conference, and it's great content, so we can sell that. But that's not where the real value comes. The real value for me comes in the speaking engagements and in the people who became clients.
Yeah, the direct business as a result of attending. Yeah. So I mean, really, when you think about it, it's a modern take on networking.
Yes.
Because we talk all the time about, you know, maybe you want to do a lunch and learn in your office and invite another, you know, professional services provider who's not necessarily an attorney to come in to speak and invite some clients in. And all that's great. I suspect as a result of this pandemic experience that we're all having, that kind of networking, professional networking, is going to be a lot less available to folks.
Right.
Something like this, which is the virtual representation of the same idea, is going to be a lot more prevalent.
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you do with the email list?
So with the email list, you're nurturing those people. You're building the know, like, and trust factor, which is crucial to sales. And you want to periodically or definitely more consistently than what I was doing before I had to do this. When I first started, I was really good at it and I was really good about it. And then, I got to a place where it's like, I'm getting tons of clients. I wasn't doing it as much. But what you want to do is to send out regular, your regular email newsletter. And sometimes it's just informative. You're giving them information. If you're in a practice area that has, changes, if there are things that are happening in the entertainment world or in the news or pop culture, that may, this is a great opportunity for you to remind them that this is what you do, that you're an expert. Here's your take on it. So there's all kinds of things that you can do, when it comes to building your email list. And really, the whole purpose of that is to stay top of mind. So when that legal issue comes up that you are the perfect person to solve, they think of you. If their coworker needs to file for bankruptcy or gets a DUI or wants to leave their husband or whatever it is your practice area is, they will, and they're thinking about who's the expert in that, they're going to know that that's you because you've been showing up in their email box consistently, and hopefully they're also following you on social media and so forth. And so that's where there's so much value in the email list. There is not ever a time that I send out and I have my list obviously segmented for, I serve entrepreneurs as well as attorneys. There's never, not ever, ever, ever a time that I send out an email to my email list, either audience, that at least four people don't respond and say, "Oh my goodness, I'm so glad you emailed me. I was just going to call you," or "I need so-and-so needs your information," or such as, "I need to get on your calendar. I've been putting off doing this." It always, always turns into something. And so a lot of times it's like they just, as important as you think you are to everybody, they're just not thinking about you. And so when you send them an email, you are reminding them, hey, remember me, I'm over here. And, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm just letting you know I'm here. And they will respond.
Again, if you're providing value, you're providing content, information that it can use. I'll give you an example because, I know a lot of attorneys who have said to me or heard similar kinds of discussions on this podcast and they said to me, had email lists, pumping out newsletters once a month or once a week, did it forever, and I saw nothing out of it. I frequently tell the story. I just had a gentleman contact me last week about doing an estate plan.
Yeah.
And I was like, boy, that name sounds familiar. And I went to do a conflict check kind of search. And lo and behold, he had attended a seminar that I had done 6 years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he never, pulled the trigger to engage me as his attorney then, but he'd been receiving the email letters ever since. And when he contacted me last week, I said, what motivated you to reach out to me? He said, every time I read those newsletters, every time you send one, and it kept bugging me and kept bugging me. And, 6 years, it kind of took you a while, but okay.
Yeah. And the thing, Neil, for many attorneys, They're doing it wrong. Newsletter is not about you and your firm. It's about them. And so I have lots of attorneys that have somehow added me to their newsletter list which is one wrong thing, but you've just put people on. I've never said I'm interested or want to hear from you, but okay, fine. I get your newsletter. And the entire thing is about you and what's going on at your firm. Okay, whoop-de-woo. What does that have to do with me and whatever is going on in my life? You've given me no reason to want to connect with you or feel that I need to. But if you're providing me valuable information or just, acting like you give a shit, you know, about what could be going on in my life. Now you've piqued my interest. And so for a lot of times when people say to me, it doesn't work, I've got nothing out of it. If I were to review that newsletter, I could probably pinpoint exactly why. Yeah. It's what you're sending out. The content is not valuable to the client.
Yeah, almost always it's about the attorney or the law firm and not about the client and their issues. So have you thought about maybe leveraging this content into a course?
Yes, an online course. I have. So I have created for attorneys it's really the blueprint for how to host an online summit. And so I've got the training videos on how to select your topic, your speaker selection, how to conduct the interview and the tech that you need in order to do it, how to promote it. And then I've got an entire swipe file of the emails that I used, what the registration page looked like, what the thank you page looked like, the images that you can use so that you can literally just, it's almost like an online summit for attorneys in a box that you can then take it, customize it to your practice area. And I do think, I love your idea about, you know, just starting where you are. I chose to do 3 days. You could do one. You could do one interview. You could do one day. You could do an afternoon. You could do three. You know, you can do it however you want to do it just to test the idea. But, you know, there's multiple, the rewards are the building of the list, building the know, like, and trust factor, the establishing yourself as the expert and bringing people in, making the connection with other professionals. So much of our business comes from referrals from other professionals, be it attorneys or non-attorneys. And so this is a win-win for everyone. And so, yes, I am developing that. I have developed that as a course for attorneys through Beyond the Bar Institute that I think is going to be really, if you just allow yourself to keep your mind open to how you can make it work for you. Right now is, you know, and I did this pre-corona, by the way.
Right. Well, you
I had no idea that this was going to happen when, you know, my conference ran in January and I had no clue that this.
To be honest with you, I kind of stumbled into that answer. I didn't have any idea you already had something already packaged up and ready to go.
Yeah.
I was actually wondering if you thought about for your entrepreneurs, your clients, about the information that was in your summit, if you could then use that to or along with some other stuff to create the online guide to protecting your brand.
Yes. Oh, I missed that because I actually said that earlier and maybe you didn't hear me.
Okay.
After we ran it live, it was free for the people who attended during that
week. Oh, I get it. Right.
And then we had the replays. We gave them like, I don't know what we gave them, maybe like a week or so to watch the replays. And then we took it down and we packaged it as a paid offering. So now if someone didn't attended or didn't know about it, they can now purchase it and the content is still there.
All right, well then let's just double back then again to what I think I stumbled on. You have a course now on how to conduct a summit.
Correct.
Is that available?
It's just about available.
Just about, okay.
It's just about available. But it will be available probably within the next couple of weeks and I'll definitely let you know about it. And this is specifically for attorneys.
Okay.
Specifically for attorneys, because I talk a lot about in the training how I know that the issue is how do I come up with a topic? Because our natural instinct is to make it a legal topic, but the better topic is what are the other pieces that come. So we talk about that and all of that in the training. But yes, I have created it. My team has basically duplicated what my step-by-step process was and how we made it successful so that any attorney in any practice area in any city in America can take this blueprint and now do their own.
Well, then can they just email you and get on your waiting list?
Absolutely, they can do that.
Okay, well, why don't we give them your email address and tell them how they might go about contacting you regarding anything else you had to say or offer today?
Absolutely. info@beyondthebarinstitute.com.
Beyondthebarinstitute.com. Okay, we will have that in the show notes. And Nakia, I can't thank you enough for being a three-time champion here on The Law Entrepreneur.
I am so proud of this. I am a three-peat law entrepreneur.
I know. We're going to have to get a t-shirt or something here going. I know. And I can't wait to see you again when all this nonsense kind of settles down.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Thanks ever so much for being a guest today on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists and Jurisdiction. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.